Few families are taking advantage of one of the cornerstones of the education reform bill signed into law in January. The No Child Left Behind Act of 2001 allows families to switch children out of failing public schools into other public schools in their area. Eric Robelin, a reporter for Education Week, has written about the subject. He joins us in our studios. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
First of all, Eric, let's talk a little bit about the intent of the No Child Left Behind legislation. What was the point here?
Okay, I would say that really the chief aim of the No Child Left Behind Act is to improve the education of poor and minority students, those who traditionally have been left behind by the education system in this country.
Mm-hmm. And part of that was to make sure that the schools that they were attending were performing up to par, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And President Bush, one of the main pieces of his agenda was to impose some new accountability on school districts and states. And part of that was to provide some new educational options for families when their children are in schools that are low performing.
And there's a set of criteria that are applied to schools to determine whether they're performing up to standards.
That's right. It's basically up to states. States identify schools that are low performing, that fail for 2 years in a row to make adequate progress. And it's important to make it clear that that is based on state definitions, so it varies somewhat from state to state.
Mm-hmm. You've been looking into this. You've found that not many families have taken advantage of the option that's given to move a child out of a failing school into one that's performing better. Tell us a little bit about what you found.
Okay, well, what I tried to do, and this was not a scientific study by any means, I sort of randomly selected some school districts around the country, and I called a handful of them to find out what was happening with the school choice provisions. And basically what I found, for a variety of reasons, it looks like there's not going to be a mass exodus this fall from low-performing schools. It's going to be more like a trickle.
Give us a couple of examples.
Okay. In terms of the numbers, let's say Nevada's Clark County schools, there about 4,500 students were eligible to transfer, but only 109 as of the end of last month were planning to do so. Likewise, in Fulton County, Georgia, there were about 11,000 eligible kids, and as of last month, only about 331 were expected to transfer to other public schools. So in both of those cases, it looked like it was less than 3%.
Mm-hmm. You also had numbers from Colorado Springs, less than 2% of the eligible students.
That's right.
Were transferring.
I can tell you a little bit about Colorado Springs, just to tell you how the program is supposed to work. Last May, Colorado Springs officials sent letters to more than 2,400 families, letting them know that their students were in schools where they could transfer to another public school. And basically what they did was they set up a system under which each of those low-performing schools was matched with two other schools nearby in the school district. So they had two other choices. And what they found is, as of last month, only about three dozen children were actually going to be transferring. So it's a very small number relative to those who could have transferred.
And can we figure out why there is this small number of students transferring?
That's a complicated question to answer. There could be a lot of reasons to explain it. In terms of some of the big urban districts, what you're finding, and this was not true in Colorado Springs, but in places like Chicago and Baltimore, I found that there just wasn't much space available. So you had large numbers of students who were eligible to transfer, but the district was saying that there were very few spaces for them to transfer to. So in many
the high-performing schools.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So in many of these big urban districts, it seems, many families won't have a choice. Likewise, in some rural areas, I found that often there just weren't other options available. I called a school district in South Carolina and found that basically there was a middle school that was identified as low performing, but no other middle schools in that district, so there wasn't another option.
What is the Bush administration saying about the small response to this program, which they felt would be an important part of the accountability in the School Reform Act?
Well, I recently spoke to a senior U.S. Department of Education official, and he said a few things. The first thing that he cautioned was that this is the first year. This program is just getting underway. This is the first fall that districts have to do this. So the level of awareness may not be very high just yet. And he predicted that over time, you would see greater participation in coming years. Another point that he made to me was that just because children or families were not choosing choosing to send their kids elsewhere does not mean that the provision wasn't working. It simply means that, you know, these families had a choice, and in some cases they may be choosing to stay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that the program is not working if a lot of kids are not leaving their schools.
Yeah, you quote someone in your story suggesting that deciding on what school to go to is not like going out and buying a microwave. You don't just add up the prices and the features and say, well, this one is better, and so I'm going to buy it. There are all these complicated reasons to stay or go.
That's another big piece of this, certainly. When I talk to some researchers to ask them, you know, what is it that motivates a family to either keep their kids in their current school or to transfer their kids elsewhere, they said that families are often very reluctant to move their kids from one school to another. It's very disruptive. Children have friends. The parents are familiar with the schools. They know maybe the teacher and other people at the schools. And it may be that just because the federal government or the state has identified a list of low-performing schools, those parents may be confident that their own child is actually getting quite a good education.
And how about the costs? I mean, what added costs are there for the local school districts?
That's a tricky question, but I will say one of the big concerns that school districts have is that these low-performing schools or their districts now are required to use a portion of the federal money that they might prefer to spend on improving schools. They have to use a portion of that now to provide transportation to another public school. So that has caused some controversy. There are some school officials who don't like that idea.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Eric Robelin is a reporter for Education Week. He's written on the subject of school choice.